Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Exactly. Stay puffy, my friend, as Jorge said yesterday. So, okay, you want one that that pisses me off?
Sure.
Okay, Jovan Buha tweets this. Darvin Ham will not confirm that Anthony Davis will be available for the Lakers back-to-back against Utah and the Clippers in early April. He said the Lakers have a plan and they're sticking to it. Are you effing kidding me?
Well, you know why? Because Darvin got burned before when he said... It's my understanding that it's all hands on deck where everybody's playing in all the back-to-backs. Then the front office came down and said, no, AD's not playing in Houston. And Darvin then came off looking bad.
But you think
he's giving himself political cover.
That AD will not play that Clippers game, which is the second night of a back-to-back, while they are in a scrap to get into the playoffs or maybe to get into a playoff position?
It depends. On are they already in? Are they already out? If they're out,
there's no reason.
Yeah, there's no reason to play them. If they're in, is there a reason to play them?
They're improving their position, right? In other words, they may be playing for a home game in the play-in as opposed to a road game.
That's the third to the last game of the year. I think it's going to depend on where they are in the standings at the time of the game. But I think it's a possibility that AD plays in that game.
Okay, so this is, let me hit the Seinfeld. Yesterday, Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, and last night, by the way, if you did not see it, it was an unbelievably exciting finish to the World Baseball Classic as Japan came from behind with two runs in the ninth to beat Mexico. And Artie Moreno was asked yesterday in his availability about Shohei Ohtani.
Now, I think this was a few days ago. He made himself available to the media for the first time in 2 years.
Okay.
Nick Manassian does media. Obviously, the on-field guys, the manager and the players do media.
Yep.
Artie has not done media for a couple of years, but he agreed to do it 2-3 days ago, and that's what you're reading from.
Yes, okay. So let's credit Sam Blum. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the question.
Okay.
Read Artie's answer, and then have you answer the way you think he should have answered.
Okay.
Okay. So first question, fans are not pleased that you were not going to sell the team, disappointed when you changed your mind. He says, I don't have any social media, but you always have a vocal minority that's not going to be happy no matter what.
I would say, I would have answered it this way.
Okay.
I would say, if you think the fans are frustrated that we haven't made the playoffs in 7 or 8 years, you can only imagine how frustrated I am. I cannot live with myself unless I try and fix this. And I think I'm uniquely qualified. I know who's here. I know who needs to do better, starting with me. And that's why I'm not selling the team. It's because we have failed. And I don't feel like I can walk away from this until I have it moving in the right direction.
See, you should have coached up Artie Moreno.
Here's
that
the problem.
That is a great answer.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Artie Moreno is, and we've all worked for guys like this.
Yep.
Artie Moreno is independently wealthy. He has, as you and I like to say, FU money.
Right.
And no one can tell Artie what to say or do.
Right.
He could have called me, and I would have told him that. That doesn't mean he's going to do it. Now, what's the next question?
He was asked on Shohei Ohtani's abilities. He said, he's arguably the most unique player, probably one of the top 5 or 10 players.
Oh, no.
Top 5 or 10 players.
Did he really say that?
He said top 5 or 10 players. What in the name of God is he thinking?
All right, this is how you answer that question. One of the reasons why I'm excited about the possibility of us turning this around is that we have the best player in the world. I hope fans can appreciate that this is a modern-day Babe Ruth. We haven't seen a player like this in more than 100 years. And I think... if we turn this around, he's going to be one of the major reasons why. And I understand his position. He wants to win. So do I. So if I fix the winning, then I can go to Shohei and say, you're one of the reasons that we're going to the World Series. Come lead us there. That's my hope.
Good.
Right?
I mean, that's good. I would just say something like, also add in there that if it's not Mike Trout, that's the best player in the world, he is the best player in the world. And yeah. you add Mike Trout in there, so it's the two
yeah,
of them.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
no,
good.
Shohei's top 10, though, according
yeah,
to
top 10.
He's
well,
top,
Arnie
one of the
Moreno
top 10
is an
players.
Absolute mess.
Okay, here's one. Here's one. His radio team is not going to travel this year.
Right.
They're going to do all their games from Los Angeles.
They did that last year, too.
Yeah. So this is what he said about that. He said, we don't find it effective to travel 40 or 50,000 miles during the season when it doesn't change the experience.
Well, obviously I'm a little biased there. It absolutely changes the experience. The year the Lakers won the title, I did all the games from here. I did them in studio because that was COVID.
Right.
Now we're back in the arenas. It makes a world of difference. And it's a red herring that he says, we don't think traveling these guys 40 or 50,000. The plane is going without the radio
right,
announcers.
Right.
They're empty seats
they're
on that plane.
They're already traveling, yeah.
Yeah, the plane is going. Basically, this is the cost of a hotel room, Artie. And if you care about your fans and you want to attract the best broadcast talent, you want good announcers, you're not going to operate like a minor league team. I watched Bull Durham yesterday. They used to sit in a studio and make sound effects. Like
yeah.
They'd knock on the... I mean, they were going back to that. No, that's an easy thing. What I would have said with that is that's an easy thing to fix, and I'm happy to look into it. And there is a difference when you have announcers in the stadium
sure.
versus back at home, and we'll see if we can get that right.
Okay, here's the last one, and this one's scary if you're an Angels fan.
The other ones weren't scary if you're an Angel fan?
This one's the worst.
Oh, God.
Okay. He was asked if he's spoken to Ohtani about his future. His answer? We have not.
No.
We
That's
have
it?
Not. That's it. We have not. He has not spoken. The Angels have not spoken to Shohei Ohtani about his future,
yeah.
according to Artie Moreno.
Yeah, that's just negligence.
So long, farewell.
And goodbye.
This okay, you know how to answer that question?
What?
It's priority one, literally. There is nothing more important to me than making sure Shohei Ohtani knows that he is the face of our franchise and we want him to be a part of this moving forward. Now, of course, it's up to him. He's a free agent coming up, and if he
yep.
wants to go to free agency, he's earned it. But the advantage I have is I can talk to him now.
Right.
And so I talk to him once a week, and I let him know how much he's appreciated, how much we love having him here, how much our fans love having him here, and how we will make a competitive offer and leave no stone unturned in an attempt to keep him as an Angel for life. Now, he can still go.
Yeah.
I'm not being naive here, but it's not going to be for lack of me trying. I talk to him every week.
So long, farewell.
It's so true, though.
They've not spoken a word to him about his future.
I mean, he's
what
about...
How did they not... I mean, you make an offer, put something in front of him, say $550 million, $600 million. Shohei, what's it going
to
take?
What is his plan then? If this is your plan of not talking to him at all before the season, this is kind of like what happened with Trey Turner, by the way. They didn't talk to him because Scott Boras' clients don't actually talk. Or it wasn't Scott Boras. He's a CAA client. But
yeah.
either way, he doesn't talk about his contract in the season. If he's not going to talk about it, then you got to move him.
Right.
You got to do it now.
I think the trade deadline's fine. I don't think you're going to get much more now than you would during
but
the
season. But all three of us agree that...
He's gone.
No, I think now makes a difference.
All three of us agree that you have to trade him.
You have to
right?
trade him. Yeah,
if he turns down the offer Mason is talking about, the $550 million, whatever yeah. the Godfather offer is, you have no other option than to get what you can for
yeah.
him. You can't let him walk and get nothing.
Well, you know,
what's going to happen? And why, if you're Shohei
Ohtani, by the
Ohtani,
way, this exact same thing just played out with Juan Soto.
Well, they traded him a year early, so
right.
they got more value.
They got 2 years of him, though,
yeah.
under contract.
People think everybody's going to kill the Nationals for trade. The Nationals didn't get killed for that. Then everybody said they offered him a deal. He said no. They did what they had to
do.
They
offered him a very generous deal, a very,
right.
very good deal.
But if you're Shohei Ohtani, why are you going to now try and help Artie Moreno and the Angels if they.
One word is the answer: money.
Well, but
you
he's going to get money no matter what he does.
Yeah, but that's why you overpay to
what
keep
do you mean
him.
Why he's not going to help them?
But why? Like, why would he try and help them at all at this point?
Well, he's going to go out and play.
Well, no,
and
he's
going to
go out
best.
And play, but it's also, like, I don't know. I mean, why would you, I don't know.
If the Angels are 10 games over 500 at the trade deadline, I think you keep them.
Oh, well, then you're going to lose him for nothing.
Yeah, but you got a chance to make a run.
You got a chance to make a run. You just have to trade him. I'm with you.
Yeah.
No matter what, you have to trade him.
Well, you have to. You can't. The doomsday scenario, and Mace, your plan leaves you open to this, is that the season ends. He's a free agent next year. He walks, and you get zip. You can't let him walk for nothing. That's
even if you've got a chance to win the World Series.
You can't. I mean, he's too good. You can't. Yeah, I mean,
I say go for the World Series.
You think of what you could get for him.
Yeah, I say go for the World Series.
Yeah. This is the debate.
Yeah,
that they're having in those offices.
And you know, in a related story, why haven't the Dodgers opened up conversations with Julio Urías?
Well, do we know that for sure that they haven't?
It's not been reported.
We've heard reports of grumbling.
Next week, let's get Plunkett on one day, and he'll know.
Yeah,
he'll know if they've talked to him. But the Dodgers are a little bit weird in that regard. They let Trey Turner just walk. They let Corey Seager walk. I mean, I know it was for a lot of money in both cases, but they made no attempt to keep Seager or Trey Turner. They just said,
but they're in the running for a World Series every year with those guys. So you can't
sure
trade
they are,
them.
But at this
you couldn't
point,
trade them. Trey Turner.
Your number one starter is going to be a free agent after the year. Why are you not making a move to try to sign him right now?
I totally agree. I think he's in the same situation as Shohei Ohtani. And if he decides that he doesn't want to be here and you offer him something at the trade deadline, I move him.
You would trade Shohei?
I would trade Julio Urías if I'm not going to get anything for him because he doesn't want to be here. If he says, I'm not going to take any deal from you and I don't want to be here, then yes, I try and get something. He's the best pitcher on the team.
You're saying the Dodgers would trade their number one starter in the middle of the season when they're always trying to make a run.
I don't think they will either, but I think you would. It's the same thing. If you're not going to get anything for him, you might as well try and move him because you're going to get something.
Joel on Twitter, this is a hard question. Okay, but you have to answer it.
Okay.
Your favorite team has to be owned by one of these two people for the next 10 years.
Got it.
Artie Moreno or Frank McCourt.
I mean, we got to go down the drain no matter what.
Yeah,
so.
we got to take Artie, right?
Yeah, got to take Artie. At least he'll pay. At least he's got money. He has paid for guys.
Well, Frank has money now.
Yeah, he's got parking lot money.
No, and... Remember, he got...
Oh, he sold the team,
Guggenheim gave him like $2 billion.
Yeah, that's right. All right, coming up next, a brand new movie that I'm really excited about. There are reviews out. I've seen the trailers. The commercials have been on during games and stuff. Plus, who would you want to play your mom in a movie? That's coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, what's up? Raining out there. Be careful, you people. Be careful. We need all you guys listening. All right, so the brand new movie. Did you see the brand new movie? It's called
I haven't seen it. Have you been offered a chance to see it?
I did get a screener.
Have you watched it yet?
Not yet.
All right. Can you get me a screener?
No, you're not a big enough
person. I don't have a podcast.
No, you don't have a podcast. I'll certainly get it for you. So Air is the story of Michael Jordan winding up with Nike, and it's directed by Ben Affleck. It stars Ben Affleck as Phil Knight. It stars Matt Damon as Sonny Vaccaro, and it stars Jason Bateman as Jordan's agent. Would that be
I can't. I don't. I'm not sure, but I love Jason Bateman.
He's so great.
I
mean, and then Viola Davis plays Michael Jordan's mom.
Well, in regards to that, so they're getting ready to make this movie about Michael Jordan signing with Nike and how it changed the shoe industry forever. And Ben Affleck is one of the writers, one of the producers, and he says, "If I'm going to make this movie, I want to meet with Michael Jordan."
Yeah.
Ooh. And Jordan says, "All right, you got to come to me on this date." And he comes to me, and Ben said, "We don't think anyone can play you. We think you're too iconic. So you're not going to be in the movie. It's going to be how it's all the people around you that got this deal done."
Right.
And Jordan goes, "I'll give you my blessing with one condition. You have to get Viola Davis to play my mom."
Ooh.
And Affleck said, "Well, she's like my favorite actress of all time. I she might be too big for this. I don't know if she'll do it." And he goes, "If you get her, I'm on board helping you guys out." And they told Viola that story, and she goes, "I'm in." So Viola plays Dolores Jordan in the movie.
Fantastic.
Which means
she EGOT winner. She just got her Grammy. She's now officially a EGOT winner.
Yeah, and Affleck, I saw an interview with Affleck, and he was talking about how to him, she's like the best actress he's ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
He just loves her.
Oh, she's unbelievable.
And so he was in awe that he got to do it with her.
And so the movie is supposed to be great. It's coming out this month, I think. Do you have a date there, Bergman?
Producer guy? It's coming out soon.
By the way, John Wick comes out Friday.
Yeah.
No kidding. This is three or four?
This is five. No, four. Yeah, four. Oh, God, this movie.
Release date is
so
April 5th.
April 5th, so it's coming up fast.
And that'll be a spinoff for John Wick's wife.
No.
Yeah. I read something.
They're going to spin off John Wick's wife into her own universe?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's going to be part of it at some point.
Well, you know who was in the last one? Boban.
Yeah.
He gets killed with a pencil.
No. Gets killed with a library book.
Oh, I thought it was
he's in a library.
Oh, God, it came out 6 years
it's
ago.
I've never seen it. It's the very first sequence in John Wick 3.
Yeah, it's like 2 minutes into the movie.
He's in a library, and he takes the book and just shoves it down his throat.
Well, don't tell me all the details.
Well, I mean, you're really going back and watching John Wick 3?
I haven't seen John Wick 1, so.
Well, you know, there's an issue with John Wick 1.
I can't. I walked out.
Really? Oh.
They kill his dog.
Yeah. And you know what kind of dog? It was a baby beagle, and I had
even at that point. The name of artistic filmmaking, you can't be killing dogs.
But that was the whole reason he went on his killing spree.
Yeah.
Was to avenge his baby dog. But I couldn't get by the baby dog.
Yeah, you can't even have to show it.
Did they show it?
Yeah.
No. Oh. I mean, it was
sort of.
It's not implied. It's actually
no.
Seen.
I would say implied.
More than implied.
More than implied.
Yeah.
A notch above implied. So actually, Viola Davis is going to play Michael Jordan's mom. The question is, who would you want to play your mom if they were making a movie about you?
All right, this one's easy for me.
Okay.
Jane Fonda.
That's Jane Fonda looks fantastic. Yeah. She looks.
Yeah,
really
my mom
good.
Looks really good for her age. Kind of looks like Jane Fonda. That's who I'd pick. How about you? Who plays Donna?
Cher.
Oh, it's perfect. And Donna would love it.
Oh yeah, Cher as
Bergman,
Donna
who plays Jan.
It's between two. I'm trying to decide which one. I think it's either Sally Field.
Yeah,
that's a good
She's
choice.
A good choice.
Or Goldie Hawn.
Oh well, what color is Jan's hair? Is she
it's
a blonde?
Like a darker color. So Sally Field, probably.
Sally Field, yeah. Sally Field's a great...
She changes it all the
time. Every woman would like to be played by Sally Field.
Yeah, I think Sally Field's the right
answer. She's lovable. Jorge, what about you?
Mexican actress. Her name is Mariana Treviño. She's in that movie, A Man Called Otto. She's that female...
Oh, yeah, I didn't watch that movie. Is that any good?
It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Brendan and I liked it. Her parents liked it. It's a really good movie.
I looked at the trailers. I thought it looked corny.
No, it's actually pretty good.
Is it?
I thought it was corny, too. And then we watched it, and it was really, really
good. It was really good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, Air is being called the Jerry Maguire of this generation.
Yeah, which is high praise. Jerry Maguire. Tom Cruise got nominated for Best Actor in Jerry Maguire.
Yes, he did.
Maguire,
I thought that was his best performance ever.
You know what his best performance ever is?
What?
Tropic Thunder.
Nah, yeah, Tropic Thunder's very funny. Very funny.
By the way, there's a bunch of politically incorrect things, but that movie still works for me.
I thought he was also good in I'm Jumping on Oprah's Couch. That's the other thing I thought he was great in. So, all right, this is something Bergman and I completely disagree on.
Okay.
That's not anything new.
I'll settle the argument.
again. Same button, same time. All right, so this is a lady who says she got a legit call from school.
Okay.
Principal said this. This is a tweet. I just wanted to touch base with you. Your daughter was baiting seagulls into the playground with gummy worms and actually caught one, like in her arms. It did bite her, not hard, but I needed to inform you that we filed an accident report. Now, Bergman, your take on this.
Don't say the take.
Little girl waving gummy worms,
right.
And the seagull comes in, catches the seagull, bites it.
Right.
Right. And so the school filed an accident report.
Yes.
Whose fault is it, John?
It's the girl's fault.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes,
we don't know how old the girl is, and for the
12.
Most part.
Yeah.
No, she's not 12.
I estimated 12.
Your estimation is totally wrong.
12. It's
Why is his estimation more wrong
because
than yours?
No, it's implied.
It's not implied. It's not implied in the slightest.
I just read it. It's implied.
There's no implication in that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, whose fault do you think it is?
I think it's the teacher that's not watching the kid.
The teacher has 30 kids to watch.
There's more than one teacher roaming around there.
This girl waving the gummy worm is at fault.
If Riley's 5 years old and she has a gummy worm and doing this, I would hope the teacher would be like, whoa, 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 don't do that. Or see that a bird is coming flying at this child
But why is she waving the gummy worm?
Because she's five.
Can I tell you something?
She's not 12.
Teachers are the most underappreciated employees on the planet.
By the way, you're talking on a day when are all the teachers on strike today?
Oh, it's LASD. Yeah.
I think LAUSD. Yeah.
I stand with you, teachers, standing out in the rain, holding your picket signs, the most underappreciated people in the world.
I stand with the 5-year-old.
Yeah. 12.
Hey. I'll meet you in the middle. The 7.5-year-old shouldn't be dangling gummy worms and then be surprised when a seagull shows up.
Where are you on this?
That's the kid's fault. Yeah.
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 How about some personal
responsibility? If Maite was, you would not get mad at the teacher.
Nah.
You get mad at Maite?
How did Maite get the worms?
Yeah, exactly. Who gave Maite gummy worms?
Teachers give away gifts for doing class.
Oh, yeah, great.
That's true.
If the teacher gave her the worm, then I'm switching to your side.
Exactly.
Well, that's usually where they get it from.
No.
Is from
no,
the teacher.
No.
If you do something nice,
candy,
come on, Jorge.
Ever.
Jorge.
No,
if Maite does something good in school,
they're banning
the teacher
sugar
not give
from
them...
schools, man. What are you talking about?
Well, obviously, this school wasn't banned from sugar.
There's a gummy worm in the school. You don't believe in personal responsibility.
I do
believe in that. You know what you're doing?
But you're passing
the buck. See it? There it goes. The buck just went right there.
It's a 5-year-old. They don't know better yet.
The buck is gone.
The buck is out the door. You just passed it.
She's not 5. How do you know it's 5?
Because she's obviously not 12.
Wait, how did we go from 12 to 5?
Because
12 was way too high, so I went low.
She's 8. She's 8. Done.
She's 8. We'll meet in the middle. 8-year-old, you're waving gummy worms around.
It's your fault.
Seagulls, that's on you.
The other day I'm watching, this is a great line from a movie. The other day I'm watching Dodgeball.
Yeah.
I was just flipping channels. It's Dodgeball. And Vince Vaughn, they're getting ready to play the championship match against Globo Gym.
Mm-hmm.
And Vince Vaughn goes, hands in. What's our team motto? One of the other guys goes, aim low. That's it.
Yeah.
Aim low is our team motto.
Personal responsibility, Bergman.
12-year-old knows better. A 5-year-old
does. You've taught Riley personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
Tell her not to bring gummy worms to school.
She wouldn't be doing that at 12 years old. She probably would at five.
If Riley did it, whose fault would it be?
At 12? At 11 years old?
No, at 5.
Well, okay, hold on. Which one is it?
Well, first of all, how old's Riley?
She's 11.
Okay, if it's Riley
at 11 years
is
old,
is it her fault?
It's her fault at 11.
Yeah, but even at 5, if you take her shopping and she says, "Daddy, I want to get these gummy worms." And, yeah, sure, go ahead. And then she takes them to school and gets attacked by a seagull. How is that the teacher's fault?
Exactly. The teacher at 5 years old, when she's in kindergarten, should be watching over the kids, making sure they're not waving gummy worms around.
Wait, you're the one that bought her the gummy worms. How did you think that movie was going to end?
Not with them waving around for a seagull.
No.
Can I just say, random tweet, I knew I could get 10 minutes out of it. I knew I could get a really funny 10 minutes out of that tweet.
Yeah, but Greg, you are absolutely...
Not at 5.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You know how hard it is to corral 35-year-olds?
I'm suing.
Okay, so I got a Laker thing I want to do coming up. Lakers since the trade deadline and where they rank in different categories.
Okay.
We'll do that coming up. It's really interesting, really surprising. It really will tickle your mind. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Like I should.
There are a couple of words that are bothering me that I thought I would bring up.
All right. What are they?
So my brother, says he's got a very...
Which one?
The billboard salesman?
Yeah.
Says he's got a very sophisticated palate. So we went to a restaurant over the weekend where you had to eat some sherbet between one course and the next.
Okay.
How do you spell sherbet?
S-H-E-R-B-E-T.
S-H-E-R-B-E-T. Yeah, but there's no R. Why do we pronounce... I pronounce it sherbet, and it's spelled sherbet.
Yeah, I don't know. This is keeping you up at night?
Here's another one. Okay, restaurateur. Do you know there's no N in restaurant? It's actually restaurateur. It's not restaurateur.
No.
Yeah, it's restaurateur.
That would have gotten me kicked out of the National Spelling Bee.
Call that David Slay guy. Put that to him. Do I have the right name?
Yeah.
Yeah, David Slay.
He's just opening two new restaurants.
Is he really?
This year, yeah.
Restaurateur.
I wonder if David even knows that.
Probably not, because I always pronounce it restaurateur, and I pronounce it sherbet.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. All right. That bugged me.
Yeah, I'm glad those weren't on my ESL test. I wouldn't have passed it.
You wouldn't have passed it?
Yeah.
Right, Bergman, sherbet.
Sherbet. There should be an R there.
Absolutely.
It's not even a silent R.
Why do you say buffet? It's buffet. Right?
Well, that's actually spelled.
Move on.
No, that
Stop
makes sense to me. It's French, so they eat C at
the
end.
French word, to buffet.
Buffet.
All right, from Worthy Splash.
Yeah.
Based on Ireland and Mason's logic, teachers are not responsible for monitoring children at school. Bergman, add them to the list of people I would never let watch my children.
Exactly. Thank you, Worthy Splash.
Hey, Worthy Splash, there's 30 of those rugrats running around at the same time. I'm only one teacher. I can't keep an eye on all of them. If your dumb kid is dangling gummy worms for seagulls and a seagull shows up, what else did you expect?
You got to be watching it. Just like Matthew Pelosi says, I agree with Bergman Greg. If a 5-year-old has seagulls swarming her like the pigeon lady in Home Alone 2, that should be something an adult in charge should notice.
That's so funny.
I mean, you would think a teacher would be like, oh, that's not right.
Gummy worms. That's dangerous.
It's the teacher's fault.
So, Ireland, since the trade deadline. Talk a little Lakers here. Since the trade deadline, Trevor Lane, who's really follows the Lakers inside out.
Good follow on Twitter, too.
He did all the work on this. I did not, so I just want to make sure we credit him. He came up with the rankings for the Lakers in different categories since the trade deadline.
Okay.
So I'm going to bounce them off you. Bergman, you too. Where do the Lakers, since the trade deadline, where do they rank 1 to
30?
Yeah. In free throw percentage.
I'm going to say 20th.
Bergman?
He's 15th.
You know, it's not as bad as it's actually 18th.
All right.
It's not terrible.
We're right in the middle, Greg.
It's totally middle of the pack.
Okay.
Turnovers, where do they rank?
They've had a couple of bad games, but overall, I'll go middle of the pack there, 15.
Bergman?
Turnovers, 18th?
21st in turnovers.
Yeah,
so they are turning the ball over a lot.
Okay.
What are they averaging, like 16?
I don't have that. Oh, okay. I just have the rankings. So don't screw me up. Okay. 3-point shooting percentage. Since the trade deadline, since the acquisitions.
This is not going to be great. I'm going to go 23rd.
Bergman?
Since the All-Star break?
Since the trade deadline.
Then I'm going to say 5th.
They are 26th.
Oh, wow.
In 3-point percentage. They're not shooting well.
The biggest disparity for them, too, is not only do they not shoot well from three, they don't defend it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, rebounding. Where do they rank in rebounding?
Not bad. I'd say 10th.
Bergman?
I think higher. 16th.
Third.
Yeah.
Third.
Yeah. They are hitting the boards hard.
Yeah.
Okay, this is good. Offensive rating. So this is like points on the floor, how many score in a game, all that. Offensive rating, where do they rank?
8th.
Bergman?
3rd.
22nd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And this one is interesting. Defensive rating. Again, since the trade deadline, since the acquisitions, Rui and Vando and all those guys, where do they rank in defensive rating?
15th.
Bergman?
It's going to be low. They were first for a little while. 3rd.
First.
Yeah.
Really?
They lead the league in defense since the trade
deadline. Well, that's what Darvin's been trying to hang his hat on.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So their net rating is 9th, which is really good.
Right.
Offensively, 22. Defensive, number 1. So those acquisitions made all the difference. And what I hope is, and I've seen some reporting on this, I hope they bring everybody in this group back.
They're going to try, but they have rights too. Like last year, Malik Monk played really good. And at the end of the year, they just didn't have the money.
He was a walkaway free agent.
Right. And so he went to Sacramento and took the money.
But I think they got an, Bergman, do I have this right? They have an option on Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt's under contract.
Yes, he's under contract.
Right.
But there's a handful of other guys.
Rui is a
D'Angelo Russell is a free agent. Austin Reeves is a free agent. They've got a handful of. Yeah, they've got
D'Lo's a walkaway guy. Yeah,
a handful of guys that are going to probably test the market.
But hey, see, do you think that Lonnie Walker should get more time?
I do, but I like him. Darvin is in Mason's stat that they're number one in defensive rating. Is it Darvin looks at defense first, and so if you're not an elite defender, like that's why Vanderbilt and Troy Brown play a lot of minutes. They good both defenders. Defend, and you know AD is the best defender on the team. But you'll see Schroeder, you'll see Reeves, because they get into it defensively. The phrase the coaches use a lot is, there are certain guys in the league that play themselves off the floor defensively. Mm. And I think that's a little bit, if Lonnie could step up defensively a little bit, I think he'd get more minutes. Because offensively, he's a freak athlete. He's a really good leaper, can shoot from outside. He's a good, yeah, I would like to see him play more.
Okay, I got something for you. Actually, you sent this. Cheerleader from Florida A&M. Okay. Now, I can't figure out what game this was from.
Okay, it's at a basketball game. That's important.
Okay.
Okay. But normally, if you're a cheerleader, you stand there with your hands in your sides. You may have pom-poms.
Wave your pom-poms.
You'll do certain cheers like 2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? You know, yes. Blah, blah, blah. Very rarely will you comment on what's happening in the game unless you're at Florida A&M. Where this cheerleader talks so much that they decided to mic her up for a game. And this is just some of the things she says during an actual game while she's standing on the sidelines in her cheerleading outfit.
Messiah! Your coach say you suck! That's what his words. Take him out of the game, coach!
I'm getting a little bit old for this.
Ref, you don't gotta take that, ref. You don't gotta take that, ref. You don't gotta take that. If I was you, I wouldn't let him talk to me like that. That was real aggressive. He can attack.
Shot all day.
I kind of love it.
I love it too.
It's great.
I mean,
she should do it all the time.
She's probably, after that went viral, she probably got in trouble because you know you're supposed to be sportsmanlike and
rah, rah.
Yeah, blah blah blah. But I if she was one of my cheerleaders, I'd give her a raise.
Absolutely. That I think that's awesome. I wonder if any of the Ram cheerleaders do it.
Messiah, you suck.
Yeah. You don't have to take that, ref.
Not a shooter. He ain't a shooter
he ain't
either.
A shooter.
Yeah, you got to throw it to one of the other two guys. Neither one of those guys can shoot.
You know, I know our friend Ben Lyons, who's now doing a show on
in New York City. Bonjour Sports.
Bonjour. He has professed that he's a great trash talker. I wouldn't even.
He's
know.
A good heckler. I don't know if he's a good trash talker.
Well, is what's the difference between heckling and trash talking?
What she was doing was heckling.
Okay.
Trash talking is like getting into your face saying, like when you're about to shoot.
Well, trash talking is like what players do, right?
Right. Yeah. You're about to shoot 2 free throws.
Yeah.
You know you're going to choke these, right?
Yeah. Right. Right. You know, so,
hey, Mace, when's the last time you made 2 free throws in a row? Oh, wait, I know. It was 3 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you just keep walking.
But heckling, I wouldn't even know where to start. Like,
tell me your dad was a heckler back in the day?
Oh, my God. My dad was the worst heckler in the world. He heckled like crazy.
Heckled so how can like you crazy. Not know what a heckler is?
Yeah, but I don't think I've got that gene.
Yeah, I don't
get the heckling gene.
I don't either.
I've told the story before. You said yesterday people hate hearing
stories.
Yeah,
so it'll come up. Yeah, well,
okay, Mason thinks we have heard that. I'm just telling it. Screw you people. So we were at the Columbus Clippers. This is when I was working for the Toledo Mud Hens baseball team. And we had a game in Columbus. And my dad was sitting behind home plate. And I was sitting with George Sisler.
I love this story.
I was sitting with George Sisler upstairs, who's like a legendary guy.
Might be in the
right?
Hall of Fame.
Maybe
yeah.
in the Hall of Fame. And he was the general manager. And I hear my dad. And it's, you know how in a
minor league park, you can hear everything.
You can hear everything. Yeah. So my dad, there's a catcher named Bruce Robinson. And my dad starts yelling, hair lip, hair lip. And George Sisler looks at me and says, who would yell that at a baseball game? And Bruce Robinson did not have a hair lip. There was just a totally
yeah,
random
your dad
thing.
Was just
no, my dad
it.
Was just totally making it up. My dad was ridiculous at times. Just ridiculous at times.
Well, no, you gotta tell the Daryl Strawberry story.
Oh, the Daryl Strawberry story.
That's my favorite one.
So my dad was always trying to get autographs. He was trying to get autographs from everybody. We were in Pittsburgh, and he was a huge fan of the 1985 Mets.
The 86 Mets 86, went to the World Series and right. won it. Yeah.
So there we are, and he's got a baseball, and he's with a bunch of, you know, like 12-year-olds at the rail trying to get autographs. And my dad starts trying to get Daryl Strawberry's attention. He says, Straw! Hey, Straw! Straw! Finally, Daryl Strawberry walks over just to shut him up. And when he gets there, my dad says, send Gooden over here. I don't have his autograph yet. Strawberry's like, what? What? My dad was very, very odd. Very odd man.
The apple doesn't fall far from
no,
the tree,
not.
As
I,
they say.
I always say that I found a way to monetize it. My dad was weird.
Yeah.
I am weird. I've just found a way to monetize it. All right, coming up next for you, what's up, fool? Bergman's going to throw some stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
What's up, fool?
Thanks, Chris. All right, so Austin Eckler, as we've talked about before, is in a contract dispute with the Chargers and says that he is massively underpaid and relentlessly pursuing a new deal. He is a running back, 27 years old, but also a great pass catcher out of the backfield. How much would you give Eckler if you're another team looking for a boost?
Well, he's perfect for a team like the Rams, like,
yeah,
because he catches out of the backfield.
But they're not trying to win.
He's a touchdown machine. Well, they wouldn't admit that.
I have been told that the Rams are not in it for Eckler.
Okay. I'm very surprised the Chargers are letting him do this.
I agree.
You're right, Greg. Running backs in the NFL are a dime a dozen, but not him. He's a touchdown machine who can run for, you know, 1,000 yards and receive for 1,000 yards. I'd pay the guy. I'd pay Austin Eckler, especially when you have Justin Herbert as your quarterback. I'd pay just Austin Eckler before I'd pay Keenan Allen or Mike Williams. I would get Austin Eckler taken care of first, but obviously they feel differently. Mace, would you pay Eckler?
I would pay Eckler. You know, he's the next best thing to Deebo Samuel. He ran for 1,000 yards and caught for 700 yards.
Right. And he's not a good guy. He's a great guy. I mean, we've had him on the show when you've been gone, and he's like a face of the franchise kind of guy. He's great in the locker room, great in the community. I'm very surprised the Chargers are letting him do this. If I were the Chargers, I'd sign him today.
What's up, fool?
All right, so Emily loves movies, obviously.
Oh, she seems to have seen every movie there is.
Yes, and she's now seen Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, nice.
Seven times.
Overrated.
First of all,
I haven't seen it.
Okay, so in the last year, the movie has been out for a year.
Yep.
She has seen it now seven times.
Yeah.
Seven times in 1 year. How many times is too many times to see a movie in 1 year? And Jorge, you're crazy.
You don't think it's overrated, Greg?
No, I thought it was great.
Nah, yeah.
I would absolutely
did you like
see
it?
A second
I've seen
time.
It. I saw it twice
sure.
in theaters. I thought it was great. Better the second time because I knew what was coming.
All
first
right.
time, it's a bit stunning. You're like, whoa.
I'm not the right person to ask this because there are a handful of movies, I can think of probably 20 of them, where if they come on TV, I will watch them even though I've seen them 15 times.
Right.
I did it the other day with Groundhog Day. I
but
did it last night with Bull Durham. Well, in 1 year.
Would you watch Bull Durham seven times this year?
No, but I bet you I'd watch The Godfather seven times in 1 year.
Okay.
I always watch Godfather at Thanksgiving. They always run it in a nonstop loop at Thanksgiving on AMC.
Like, there are certain movies. My wife loves Nancy Meyers movies.
Oh, they are so gross.
What are you talking about?
Oh, they are so obnoxious. Rich people, fancy houses. I hate Nancy Meyers movies.
What, you hate the one with Nicholson when he's
yes.
with Diane Keaton?
Absolutely hate it.
Oh, I love
Something's
that movie.
Something's got to give, yeah. yeah. Something's got to give. Like, I got to get out of there.
You don't like The Holiday?
No,
Kate Winslet, what is wrong with you?
I can't stand Nancy Meyers movies.
Well, did you see that she's in the middle of a big dispute with Netflix? Like, she's asking for $130 million to do a romantic comedy.
Oh, for the love of God.
They told her to go pound sand.
Yeah, they should.
So now she's looking for a new distributor.
Is that the one where they switch places? One goes to one place and one goes to the other place?
Well, I didn't even know this was a thing until I saw The Holiday, but it's you can put your house on a home exchange. And so Kate Winslet lives in a cottage in England, and Cameron Diaz lives in Beverly Hills, and they switch.
That's right.
And Jack Black's in it. Jude Law's in it. Great role for Eli Wallach.
It's always about rich people. She never does a movie about regular people. It's all about rich people in fancy houses.
Rich people are people too.
I see why your wife likes it.
Exactly. She's
a rich
person in a house.
Lives in a fancy house.
But you watch. There's movies you've watched seven times, right?
Well, yes.
In 1 year?
Not in one year.
That's where you kind of got me.
That's odd. That's a weird personality quirk she's got. There are certainly movies that I've seen seven times. You know, I've seen Casino every time it comes
right.
on. I've seen The Godfather every time it comes on. Like, those kinds of movies, Goodfellas every
time
it comes on.
Like, you can't pass up. You're flipping channels. Remember the Titans. It's up. You got to watch it.
Sure. Yep. But, like, if you just watched it 2 months ago, you're not watching it again. Over it.
Yeah, Emily's weird.
Or watch it for, like, a little bit and be like, all right, I just saw this soon.
Yeah, no, that's a weird thing.
Any Given Sunday comes on tonight. I saw it a couple months ago. I'm watching it again.
Yeah, but if it's another couple months after that, you're not going to do it again.
Now, Ireland, will you ever watch Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Be honest.
It's superhero-ish.
I challenge
man.
You to do it.
No, it's not superhero.
It's not really right,
universe. This is what I'll do.
It's not a superhero.
This is what I do.
You are misconstruing the entire movie.
I will download it to my iPad, which means I'll eventually get to it. Because on road trips, that's what I always do.
There you go.
I'll watch. I like Michelle Yeoh.
She's fantastic.
You know, she was a Bond girl, and she was great in a Bond movie. She actually stole the movie from Terry Hatcher. Terry Hatcher was in a Bond movie when she was at the peak of her powers.
Right.
And Michelle Yeoh's in the same movie, and
right.
Michelle Yeoh is the better actress in that movie.
She is great.
She's really
movie.
Good in it.
Yeah.
By the way, Mason, John has Spirited still on his iPad, don't expect
seen
to have
it yet.
And he hasn't seen it yet.
Wait,
yeah.
That's
so
true.
So
good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What's up, Foo?
I don't know if we're YouTube or not, but hey, shout out to my homie Ivan.
Hey,
how big is
he? Gave me this mug. So he
look
drove
at that thing. Jorge has a mug that's bigger than he is.
That's awesome.
So he got his face.
It's a real mug. Yeah.
How many ounces does that thing hold?
I have no idea. It has nothing, no label.
That's got to be old. That's got to hold 50 ounces.
Something, man. But anyway, he's not a sports guy. So he drove from El Paso, and I was able to like take him to an LAFC game.
He's a friend of yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he drove from El Paso down here. And then he asked me an interesting question. He's like, if you had courtside tickets for any sports event, what former athlete, Hall of Famer, would you want to see at his prime?
It's easy for me because I never saw him.
Okay.
Michael Jordan. I never saw Jordan
live.
I would have loved to have seen Jordan.
So the two people I made Lisa go see in case I'd like get hit by a bus and die, I made her go see Jordan in person, and I made her go see Wayne Gretzky in person, just so she could say that she saw him play both. The answer to your question, and I caught him at the peak of his career when I was a kid, and I never had good seats. I've had good seats. Nolan Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah.
You never saw Nolan Ryan?
I did, but as a kid, and I always was sitting in the bleachers, like way up high.
So one time I went to see Nolan Ryan in Arlington, Texas, where he was pitching for the Rangers, and it was an A's-Rangers game, and it was Nolan Ryan versus Dave Stewart. And I'm like, this is going to be great. 11-10. Final score, 11-10. They both got blown up.
Did you watch Facing Nolan, the documentary?
Yes.
I thought that was really good.
You know what's weird is the first name that popped into my head, weirdly, was Elgin Baylor. Everybody says
that's
Elgin
a really good
Baylor
answer.
Was unbelievable.
They say he's Michael Jordan before Jordan.
Yeah, and I've never seen him. Obviously never got to see him play. I would love to see Elgin Baylor live. Now, is Elgin Baylor still?
No.
No, he passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell fellow, well met. Great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carrot cake.
I would have.
Don't even get me started.
On zucchini bread.
I would have loved to see Julio Cesar Chavez, boxing legend.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's a good call.
Those fights would have been great.
Good call.
All right, what's up, fool?
What's up, fool?
I was just letting you finish. All right, so Rick Pitino is leaving Iona and signed a 6-year deal with St. John's to be their new head coach.
6 years? How old is he?
6 years. He's, you know, you're making me look stuff up.
No, I'll look it up. Keep going. You keep going, I'll look it up.
Subsequently, Fairleigh Dickinson head coach Tobin Anderson, who said right before the FDU-Purdue game, "I want Purdue to see this. We think we can beat them," and they did beat them, is leaving FDU for Iona. Who do you think will have the better move between the two? Who had the better move between the two?
Well,
I wrote that very strangely.
Yeah, Pitino wins everywhere he goes.
I wrote it for you, man.
Yeah, Pitino wins no matter where he is. Matter of fact, he's one of, I think there's only three coaches that have taken three different schools to the Final Four. Pitino took Providence with Billy Donovan. He took Kentucky. Won the title at Kentucky, won the title at Louisville.
Right, right.
So he's done it in three different places. The other guy, Tobin, is just a hot coach who's taking advantage of the fact that his number 16 seed won a game in the tournament and cashing it in on a 5-year deal. But Pitino is the better, has the better chance of success.
Let's see. I'll go. I'm going to use all my basketball expertise here and say Pitino.
Perfect. Jorge?
Yeah, Pitino.
Pitino, yeah, exactly.
By the way, Greg, he's 70.
70.
So he'll be 76 at the end of it.
75, 76?
Jim Boeheim, who just retired, is 78. So Rick could still be coaching when he's 76.
Right about there. St. John's hasn't done anything in quite some time, so them getting back into the tournament.
Yeah, probably not since the Lou Carnesecca years. Yeah, they haven't been good.
Did Steve Lavin ever take him into the...
No, yeah, never got very deep into the tournament.
Terrible, terrible coach.
I like Lav. He's a great guy.
Lav, too. You know where he is now?
San Diego?
University of San Diego.
Yeah,
that's a great school.
Yeah, they're doing nothing.
What's up, Foo?
I always hated him as a UCLA coach.
Lav was such a good guy.
He's probably a great guy. I don't care about that. I saw what he did on the floor, and it was terrible.
You go hang out with little supervillain Mick Cronin.
He's great.
Cronin is great.
Cronin's my favorite college coach in the country.
Absolutely.
Hasn't smiled in 2 years.
Yeah. And he shouldn't until they win a championship. All right, so Baker Mayfield is taking over for Tom Brady, but doesn't want to be Brady. Well, A, he's not. And B, won't he be compared to Brady no matter what? Can he actually succeed in Tampa Bay?
No, you always get compared to the people that went before you. As a matter of fact, it's a really good thing if you can be the guy not to have to follow the guy. A little background story on Mason and I. When we first started years and years and years ago, they put us on in the mornings, and we followed this show, Berger, Prescott, and Schwartz.
Oh, God.
And it was a ratings disaster. And we know Rick. We're pretty good friends with him.
He's a great guy. I like
Rick a lot. It wasn't his fault.
No.
But
it was Berger and Prescott.
It was a shotgun between Berger and Prescott, who'd been together forever, and Rick, who was kind of a sports guy. And it just didn't work. So when we came in, there were zero expectations. There were no ratings and zero expectations. It gave us extra time. If you go in following Howard Stern, then you're in trouble because you got nowhere to go but down. So in this case, Baker Mayfield's got nowhere to go but down. Tom Brady had him in the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
You know, I will root for Baker Mayfield. He actually was pretty cool when he was with the Rams and obviously beat the Raiders. And I thought he was really cool. Personality-wise, I thought he was cool. He always made me laugh when he was doing those commercials when he lived in the stadium.
Yeah, with his wife.
In Cleveland. I thought that was actually kind of cool. So I'll root for Baker Mayfield. He's obviously going to be compared to Tom Brady, and he has no chance whatsoever. But I'll root for him.
What's up, Foo?
All right, I got to turn on my microphone. So this last one is Roki Sasaki is a 21-year-old pitcher for Japan who pitched for Japan last night.
Yes.
I think 10 of his first 12 pitches were over 100 miles an hour. If you could tell him when, he's 21 years old, in Japan, pitching in Japan, what advice would you give him to coming to America and when he should come?
All right, come as soon as you can, because that gives you the best chance to monetize your earnings. If you look at the guys like Ichiro and even Ohtani, who stayed in Japan and played for several years and then came over late. Had Ichiro played his whole career in the major leagues, chances are he would be a top five player time.
Yeah.
Ohtani might get there anyway, and he didn't come over here till he was 26 or 27. I would tell Sasaki, get over here as soon as you can. More years you play here, the better it is for your bank account and for your legacy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the process is, but I watched that guy last night, an effortless 102 miles an hour. get here.
Yeah.
Get here fast.
I was reading about the process. So he has to ask to be posted. That's what they call it, to get posted. The team then has to agree to post him, and which most teams do if they realize they're going to lose him anyway. And then every team sends in a silent bid. This is how the Angels got Ohtani.
Right.
They send in a silent bid. The highest bidder is then told, you've won the right to negotiate with Sasaki.
Yep.
And they have 30 days to cut a deal. If they can cut it, he comes over. If not, he goes back to Japan. That's the process.
Yeah. Man, get here.
Get What's here, up, fool?
That'll do it.
All right, cool. So I'm trying to fill out this thing. By the way, my birthday is Thursday. Are we planning anything?
No, I feel bad. I'm not going to be here for your birthday.
You're taking my birthday off?
Yeah, I'm going to a funeral. But
that's too bad.
So you're now this is going to activate the time of the year now that I'm just 1 year older than you and not two, which I know makes you uncomfortable.
It does make me uncomfortable. Generally, for most of the year, I'm 2 years younger than John, but now I'll be 1 year
younger.
For
about 4 months.
Briefly.
From April to July.
Now, are we planning anything for my birthday?
Let's talk about it next.
All right, we'll do that.
Should go bowling.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.